Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop there.
Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Sunday over our vacation, and today's bonus pod is the best one yet. It's
Nick, you look like a bronze warrior over there.
Yeah, I don't know what you're putting on, but put on more of it, my friend.
Yetis, let's get to this T-Boy bonus pod right now.
Oh, Jack, first story. Open it up. What do we got, man?
Yetis, since Nick and I are both off right now, we're not reading a single page of the news.
So this isn't your typical T-Boy pod because we're not covering news stories today. Well, what are we covering, Jack?
We are reading pages of books. So this is the first ever T-Boy vacation reading list.
Jack and I whipped up our three go-to beach reads. Jack, first book. What do we got?
Our first book is about Pixar, the movie studio, because Pixar invented computer animation.
Yeah, it is. Jack's beach read pick is for movie buffs, technology folks, and connoisseurs of creativity.
For our second book, one family turned Budweiser into the king of beers, not just for America, but for the whole world.
So my book pick explores how Anheuser-Busch lost its soul 15 years before this year's Bud Light drama.
And our third and final book, it's about Amazon. Amazon is the physical embodiment of Jeff Bezos' philosophy. It's a shrine to Jeff's mind.
So besties, the one book we both haven't read, but both really want to read is how Amazon's founder communicates.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix,
I mean, Jack, put down the bifocals. Fantastic mix for today's
pod. This is a page turner, isn't it, Nick?
It literally, let's get to it.
Able. Always be launching everything.
Everything. A-B-L-E. Yetis, while Jack and I are on vacation, we figured, you know what? We may as well launch a new thing.
So we're launching today our first ever book report pod.
Oh, Mrs. Johnson from seventh grade. So happy right now,
and
Jack.
The focus of these books is the category we created with this podcast. Pop biz.
Pop biz. Yetis, Jack and I are presenting our favorite pop biz books that you need to know.
Now, Nick, I am salty and fresh right now because I'm hitting the dunes of Block Island.
Jack, I'll have what you're having. I'm heading to the Cisco Beach of Nantucket right by 14B.
Both Nick and me, we brought our sunblock, we brought our sandwiches, and we brought these three books.
SPF T-Boy, and these are the three business beach reads we are deep into right now.
Yetis, many of you have asked us, how do we whip up our takeaways on a daily basis? basis?
Well, one key way, we constantly read books.
So Yetis, pause the spike ball and hold on to that towel.
These are the best business beach read books yet.
Let's hit our T-Boy vacay reading list.
Let's hit our three books stories.
Let's hit our three book stories.
Let's hit our three book stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
For our first reading list story, Jack's book pick is Creativity Inc. It's about the founding of Pixar, the animation studio behind Toy Story.
Creativity can be a one-off hit, but creativity at scale is what Pixar built.
All right, Jack, let's just kick it off with the title because this thing's a mouthful. Creativity Inc. Overcoming the Unseen Forces That Stand in the Way of True Inspiration.
Thanks for getting that out of the way, Nick.
That title is as long as a movie script, and I love it.
Yetis, Wilder loves Disney movies generally and Pixar movies specifically.
What were you just watching with Wilder? You mentioned something the other day.
The Lion King, which has its score by Hans Zimmer, by the way.
Fantastic. Can hear it in my ears right now.
1994, Lion King was a great movie. It actually won two Oscars.
But here's the thing, Yetis, about The Lion King. The Lion King is a cartoon.
The same technology put Simba on the screen as Mickey Mouse 70 years prior to it. Cartoons.
All right, now, Jack, why don't you share what you just watched last week?
Somebody poisoned the water hole, Nick. We watched Toy Story.
You watched Toy Story. Now, here's the interesting thing, Yetis. Toy Story was just 1 year after The Lion King, 1995 versus 1994.
But even though it was 1 year distant from The Lion King, it was centuries different in terms of technology.
Because, Yetis, today, every blockbuster movie has computer-generated images, but Toy Story was the pioneer of CGI.
Toy Story was the first ever fully computer animated film.
That's right. Woody and Buzz, they were not drawn with a pencil. They were designed on a PC for the first time.
The CGI that we saw with Woody and Buzz was as big a jump for film as when black and white became color.
Okay, now here's where things get freaky. Creativity Inc., the book, was written by Pixar's co-founder, Ed Catmull, wasn't it, Jack?
Yes, he is a storyteller and computer science guy.
But it turns out Pixar has a shockingly unknown founding story.
Because there are two much bigger founding fathers of Pixar Animation Studios.
Get this, Pixar was apparently created under George Lucas as part of Lucasfilm. Yeah, George Lucas, Star Wars George Lucas.
George Lucas wanted computer animation to enhance the human actors on screen, like you probably remember from the Star Wars movies.
So Master George Lucas hired a team and he created Pixar.
Yeah, he's George Lucas invented Pixar.
But here's the funny thing. A few years later, George Lucas was tight on cash because he was going through a divorce and he realized he kind of had to sell Pixar to get some money.
Guess who he sold Pixar to in 1986?
Jack, why didn't you enlighten us?
George Lucas sold Pixar to Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that's Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs just after he'd been kicked out of Apple and didn't have anything to do.
Before Steve Jobs went back to Apple, he ran Pixar and he brought it all the way through an IPO.
Ultimately, the inventor of the iPhone sold Pixar to Disney in 2006 for nearly $8 billion.
That's right. The year before Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone to the world, he sold Pixar to Disney.
Now, Yetis, since Woody and Buzz, Pixar has produced 26 more films, and the average box office for those films, Jack?
Over $500 million, which is incredibly high for 26 movies.
Sit down, stand up, and stare at the screen again.
Yetis, the story of Pixar is incredible, but the lesson of Pixar is even better.
So, Jack, whip us open to page 86 and tell us the takeaway for our buddies over in the Pixar book.
Pixar achieved creativity at scale by trusting the process.
Yetis, creativity, it can be a one-hit wonder. Like the Macarena, like Chumbawamba, or like Lou Bega's Mambo No. 5.
Or creativity can be scaled, like the Beatles, Billy Joel, or Beyonce.
Well, Pixar is in that Beatles category. They've done Toy Story, Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Up, Monsters, Inc., you name it, they have built a hit.
Ed Catmull, the author of the book, explains the systems that he built at Pixar to sustain creativity.
And here was the key. Don't stifle creativity with bureaucracy and micromanagement.
Instead, empower creatives to think freely but also give them structures and support.
So he created a system and inspired his employees to trust that system.
To know that system, you got to read this book.
And that book is Creativity Inc. For our second book recommendation, my pick is Bitter Brew, The Rise and Fall of Anheuser-Busch.
This book is about succession in real life and ended horribly.
So well put, Jack. Now, Yetis, everyone is talking about the Bud Light drama of 2023. We've covered it on the pod.
But the real Bud Light drama was 15 years earlier in 2008.
That's right. Because for all the American flags you see on Budweiser cans every year, Budweiser hasn't actually been an American company for years.
And this book tells you the tragic story of why.
Let's jump back in time, Jack. We're going to Adolphus Busch, born in Germany, co-founded Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, Missouri after the Civil War.
His co-founder was Eberhard Anheuser, his brother from another pretzel.
Or was it his brother from another spetzel?
Spetzel, that's really good. Good call.
It's pretty good, right? It kind of works on both.
Yeah, he's for the next 156 years, Anheuser-Busch dominated the U.S. beer industry.
For 156 years, this family became one of the 16 wealthiest families in America.
It was a dynasty.
Now, Yetis, you know Budweiser is really into marketing today. But here's what you may not know. Budweiser has been marketing pioneers, ironically, since Prohibition 100 years ago.
100 years ago, almost to the year, Prohibition killed and then also saved Budweiser's beer business.
Because to sprinkle on more context here, Yetis, Prohibition was that era in American history where alcohol became illegal. In 1920, you could not buy or consume alcohol. That was bad.
So the entire Budweiser business became illegal overnight.
So here's the shocking thing. As soon as Prohibition ended, the Busch family turned that into a marketing stunt for Budweiser. The first ever marketing stunt for Budweiser.
The day that President Roosevelt wrote into law that Prohibition is over, Augustus A. Busch Sr. did something we'll never forget.
Here's what he did. The executive, the owner, the leader of Budweiser got 12 horses and rode them down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. to the White House and handed the first beer to the president.
And those 12 horses delivering the first beer in 12 years to FDR?
They were the Clydesdales.
The Clydesdales. Those huge horses with bell-bottom feet.
Yeah, those cute little big old horses with like the freaky white stuff on them. Those were the horses delivering the first beer to the American president.
The Clydesdales go back as a marketing stunt to 1933.
Now, Yetis, since then, you've probably partied with a Busch product and you didn't even know it.
Turns out, though, the Busch family, they knew how to party too.
Yeah, because for example, have you ever been to Busch Gardens, the theme park?
That theme park was owned and run by the beer company Anheuser-Busch.
Maybe you went to a Cardinals baseball game over at Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
The Cardinals were owned and run by the beer company Anheuser-Busch.
Yetis, for 156 years, it was good to be a Busch.
But four generations later, for August Adolphus Busch IV, it was too good to be a Busch.
Fuck yeah. So, Jack, what's the book takeaway for our buddies who wrote Bitter Brew, The Story of Budweiser?
Family-led companies often become family-dead companies.
Yeah, it is. In 2008, the great-great-great-grandson of the co-founder was in charge of Budweiser.
That's right. Three greats for those keeping track. That great-great-great-grandson became CEO, not because he was the most qualified, but because he was the most Busch.
Looks like Anheuser-Busch's commitment to keeping leadership in the family led to its demise.
Today, Anheuser-Busch isn't based in St. Louis, Missouri. They're based in Belgium.
And it's not owned by the Busch family. It's owned by private equity and a bunch of fund managers.
The company had to sell off Busch Gardens and they had to sell off the Cardinals.
No more proud beer story anymore.
To find out how the Anheuser-Busch empire crumbled, you gotta read this book.
And that book is Bitter Brew by Bill Nadelseeder.
Full disclosure, this is Jack. 10 years ago, Nick's mom gave me this book. She gifted it. I loved reading this thing.
Full disclosure, this is Nick. And the reason my mom sent Jack that book is because she was the literary agent for that book.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally finally getting something off your chest.
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yeti's bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you. Because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For our third and final book recommendation, we've got a book that we haven't actually read yet, do we, Jack?
No, full disclosure, this is still on a reading list.
Yeah, that book is called The Bezos Blueprint.
And we're going to read it this vacation because we want to know the communication secrets from the greatest salesman.
Yeti's 1 year ago, almost exactly 1 year ago, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, stepped down from CEO of Amazon.
But despite Bezos' physical absence from Amazon these days, his spirit is still there.
Yeah, because almost exactly 20 years ago, Jeff Bezos actually banned PowerPoint at the office.
At Amazon, you can use Word docs, you can use Excel, you can probably use MySpace if you want.
You could use Clippy if you felt like it.
But you cannot use PowerPoint.
Don't even think about whipping up an animation on slide 13, Jack.
Why? Because Jeff Bezos thinks slides are superficial.
Exactly. Jeff Bezos believed that words are where the substance is, so why waste time on trying to make a little thing pretty?
And what Jeff wants, Jeff gets. So Amazon has not seen a PowerPoint in 20 years.
In fact, Yetis, the way Jack and I see it, Amazon is basically one giant thought experiment from the brain of Jeff Bezos.
Because Amazon, the company, is filled with Jeff Bezos' philosophy in every corner of the company in great detail.
Basically, Amazon is a capitalist shrine to Jeff Bezos.
It's not just the banning of PowerPoint across the company. It's also Jeff's 16 leadership principles.
Exactly. For over two decades, the company teaches every employee, from executives to security guards, their 16 principles. Used to be 14, and then they just added a couple.
Some of these principles you knew already, like Amazon's obsession with the customer.
But some of these 16 principles you may not have known, like frugality. That's a principle.
This trillion-dollar company is obsessed with frugality.
Yeah, and here's why. Amazon believes that people are more innovative when they're given less, not given more.
Back to the ban on PowerPoints. Instead of using PowerPoints, Jeff insisted that you use a 6-page memo. You write a 6-page memo.
Jack, what was that fantastic quote from Jeff Bezos about why he thought that? Why the focus on frugality?
He says that constraints breed resourcefulness. They breed self-sufficiency and they breed invention.
Yetis, you are not getting a double-digit latte machine if you work at Amazon HQ.
No, you are not. Because today, Jeff's philosophy from frugality to customer obsession is preached to Amazon's 1.6 million employees.
The second biggest employer in America is based on these 16 principles. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who wrote the book on Jeff Bezos' communication secrets?
The Amazon School of Business.
Yetis, there was a time when Goldman Sachs just popped off a resume.
Goldman Sachs on a resume was a signal that you are a machine. You can crunch numbers, work long hours, communicate clearly, and present impressively.
And before that, GE, General Electric, also popped off a resume.
Working at GE, that was better than any MBA on your resume.
But the new resume popper, what is it, Jack?
It's working at Amazon.
Yeah, So companies are hiring up ex-Amazon managers like crazy right now.
Because going through an Amazon rotation program means that you have been trained on the ways of the Bezos.
So Yetis, to find out how one treats every day like day one, we're going to read this book. We are really going to read this book.
The Bezos Blueprint by Carmine Gallo. Frugal, this project manager is.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways from our book reading list over there?
Creativity Inc. is the story of Pixar, from George Lucas to Steve Jobs to Buzz Lightyear.
Creativity can be a one-off. Creativity at scale is what Pixar really created.
For our second story, it's Bitter Brew. It tells the story of how Anheuser-Busch was once a proud and romantic symbol of American achievement.
But today, Budweiser is a cold corporate-run conglomerate based in Belgium.
And our third and final story is the Bezos Blueprint. It goes deep into Jeff Bezos' 16 leadership principles.
This book is the spark notes on the Amazon School of Business. Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Jack and me, Jack on Block Island Sound and me over on Nantucket Sound.
The earliest surviving written literature, in other words, the earliest book, is from ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to the Epic of Gilgamesh. That was the hot read back then.
The Epic of Gilgamesh was written in the year 2000. Sorry, the year 2000 BC.
Yeah, back then it was read on a tablet. Sorry, a clay tablet.
Game changer, though, happened to the book industry 3,400 years later.
Bring out Johann Gutenberg, Jack. This guy made it easier to produce a book with the first ever printing press.
Johannes Gutenberg's printing press made books so much easier to distribute.
Yeah, books no longer chiseled into clay.
No longer handwritten onto cloth either.
Finally mass produced on a printing press, just like they still are today.
Unless you want to like dictate your novel to Siri and she'll write it for you. Or ChatGPT.
Unless your book is on the blockchain. Yetis, you look fantastic today. Jack, I gotta be honest, I'm kind of shocked about something. Can I tell you what I'm shocked about?
What are you shocked about?
How did the Brooklyn Bridge not make it on this list, man? I know you were itching for that thing. I know you wanted
it. I think
that.
We should do this kind of episode again. The next vacation, three more books.
And there's definitely a business lesson in that Brooklyn Bridge book, isn't there, Jack?
Yetis, if you want a second edition of this vacay reading list, hit us up at T-Boy Pod and let us know. We really want to know your thoughts.
If you want to share what you're reading on your beach read vacay reading list, Jack and I want to see it too. Hit us up at T-Boy Pod.
In the meantime, Nick and I wish you a happy vacation and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
In the meantime, Jack and I are putting the SPF on. Jack!
Oh, Nick, you want me to get your back? I can get your back.
I think I missed a spot. Yetis, Jack, and I will see you on Tuesday, September 5th.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Disney, and Nick and I both own stock of Apple. If you like the best one yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.